Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Student there.
No, I was an intern.
You were an intern there. He's on staff there now. And I am just proud that this young man is a member of our church. You remember he joined not too terribly long ago. And we're happy to have him here and happy to hear him preach. But, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know a lot of your story. So take a few minutes before you preach to tell us about yourself, where you're from, and how you got from there to here, Clarence. But you're among friends. These are good folks. They love you. And the pulpit is yours.
All right. Well, I know that a lot of you probably have never heard my testimony, but I was saved at a later age. I was saved at the age of 15. So before that, I lived with my mom until the age of 6, and then the government felt she wasn't fit enough as a mother to take care of us. So me and my two brothers, we lived with our grandmother who took care of us, and then she died of cancer, and then our uncle took us in. But our grandmother, as punishment, most people will get spankings or most people will get, you know, like set in a corner or something. No, but for our punishment, my grandmother, and she wanted us to be grounded in the Bible, so our punishment was to read the Bible. So anytime we got in trouble, we read the Bible, we read chapters, we memorized verses, and she wanted us to be grounded in the Bible. So that's where my, you could say, Christian life kind of started, but I didn't get saved until the age of 15 when a Sunday school teacher came to my house for a year straight, inviting me and my two brothers to church. We kind of blew him off, just said, all right, you know, he'll stop, he'll get tired. But a year straight, he just kept coming to our house, kept coming. Finally, we were outside playing basketball, and the guy came by again. My uncle said, you know what, I'm sick of this guy coming to my house. Go to church, appease what he wants, and then if you guys want to keep going, you can, but if you don't, that's fine by me. So we went. Obviously, you know, we didn't know how to dress for church, so we came in like shorts, t-shirts, tennis shoes on, everything, just walked into the main service. You all know Brother Aaron, so he was a youth pastor then, and he saw us, and he said, hey, guys, the bus class is down that way. You guys are in the wrong part of the service. We said, no, we just walked here from church. So we walked to church because we weren't even a block away. So we walked to church, and after the service, he found us again, and he brought us into his office and asked us a question of, do you guys know where you're going when you die? My two brothers were able to tell me, yeah, we know where we're going. I looked at him. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean, where am I going when I die? I was like, we're just going to die. But he told me, he said, you know what? I want you guys to come back for the evening service. And if you have any questions, come up towards the front during invitation. Come find me, and we'll talk about it. And I'll give you the answers you need from the Bible. So we came back during the evening service. My pastor gave a clear message on heaven and hell, just about the differences and what you need to do to be saved. So then I felt conviction from the Lord of I didn't know where I was going. So then I went to the front, talked to Brother Aaron. He showed me from the Bible how to be saved, led me to the Lord that night, and then I got baptized that same night as well. So at the age of 15, I got saved. I still was in the public school, still was, you know, doing my daily routine, but I just felt a little more urgency to read the Bible and to go to church. But that also played in the fact of I love sports. Basketball was my passion. And basketball practice always came on a Wednesday. So then it came down to the point of I had to figure out what was more important to me, my Christian walk or basketball. So then Brother Aaron sat me down and said, you know what, you have to choose which one you want to serve, God or yourself. And I really battled with that for a while because I was, honestly, if you know anything about basketball, you miss practice, or anything about sports, you miss practice, you miss playing time. You don't come to practice, you don't play. So I had to choose which one I was going to do. So then I really felt from the Lord that I need to be in church. I need to be in church. I need to get growing in my Christian life. So then I told my coach that. Come to find out, he was actually a Christian. And he actually loved that I chose going to church over practice. So I ended up not losing any minutes at all for playing basketball. Some of the guys were jealous that I didn't have to come to practice Wednesday because, honestly, I lucked out on some running from that game on Tuesday. But since he was a Christian, you know, God blessed me with the decision I made that day with wanting to go to church and growing instead of wanting to play basketball. But then my junior year of high school, I went to summer camp, and the Lord called me to preach, and I felt I can't learn how to preach going to a public school. I can't learn to be a pastor going to a public school because they don't teach you that stuff. So then I talked to Brother Aaron, and I talked to my uncle who I was living with, and I decided that I wanted to go to the Christian school my junior and senior year of high school. So I went to, enrolled into the Christian school, had to work pay off my bill. Honestly, my uncle wasn't very supportive. He didn't really help me out a lot, but there was a family in the church, one of my friends' family. I went to their house a lot. Actually, I went there pretty much every day after school. And one day, they asked me, they said, "Hey, how much is your uncle supporting you coming to a Christian school? Because I know you went to a public school your whole life, but how much is he supporting you coming to a Christian school?" I honestly had to tell them, not much at all. And they said, "You know what?" They came to me the next week after I told them that and said, "We've been praying about it, and the Lord put it on our heart that if you want us to help you realize what God has for your life, we want to help you as much as we can. So we want to help you with college. We want to help you with the rest of your high school years. We want to help pay for that. So if you want to come live with us, that's on the table. But we want you to make sure that's okay with your uncle." So I went, talked to my uncle. He was fine with it. So I moved in with the family that has been supporting me so far in my life. They're called the Coral family. And it's just been amazing how the Lord's just been blessing every step that I've been taking just to get closer to him. I went to college, struggled with my school bill. Honestly, never had to go home. But my last year, I owed about $3,000 before graduation. Right up until the time it had to be paid off, that day of God paid it. And I was able to graduate with no debt. So it's just been amazing just seeing God work and just being able to trust and be faithful and just having faith in him that he's going to do it. Then after college, I went and interned at a church in Grand Rapids. Was able to get a little more soul winning under my belt with that, a lot of door knocking. And then Lord brought me up to Kobiak to work under Brother Aaron and to be with him again. So the Lord's just really been faithful and blessing in my life. So that's just a little bit about how I got to where I am now. So if you want to open your Bibles up to James chapter 2 and starting in verse 14. James 2, starting with verse 14. The Bible read, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works by works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and has sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you guys are into taking notes or writing an outline, the title of my message is Workable Faith. Workable Faith. Let's pray and then we're going to get into it. Lord, dear Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I thank you just for your faithfulness and, Lord, how we're able to emulate your love, our love for you through our works. Lord, I pray to you, help this not be my words but yours, Lord. Help someone to give something from this. In your name I pray, amen. So many times as fans of something, whether it's sports or anything else, we let it show when something great is going on. Patrick Morris, for example, he's a huge fan of LSU. Am I wrong?
Thank you,
huge fan of LSU. When their season is going great, you guys are going to hear about it. It shows because he'll either wear their colors or wear something of LSU. If you're a fan of something like the Detroit Lions or, you know, the Pistons, maybe even the Red Wings.
Yeah.
It shows when they're having a great season because you decide to wear what they wear, their logos, their colors. It shows your love for them from the inside out. You show that you're a fan of that team. It works the same way with our faith. We show that we're a Christian by our outwardly works. Soul winning. Telling people about the gospel. Telling people about the gospel is a work that we get to do for God, that we get to show that we love him. We show God we love him by the things we do. Our faith is shown by our works. Now, I'm not saying that you work for salvation. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the faith that you have when you are saved is emulating so much through you, the love of God working so much through you that you want to tell someone else about salvation. You want to tell someone else about where they can go, where they can spend eternity, the love that they can find in Jesus Christ. It emulates so much in you that it has to come outwardly. It can't just stay in. It has to come outwardly. But do your works show your faith? Or do you just tell people you're a Christian? Because plenty of times we can tell people we're Christians, but what we do does not show that. Let's look at three aspects of our faith by our works that James tries to explain to us here. First, faith by works is explained. Verses 14 through 17 just explains to us that by our faith, our works are shown. It says here in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not of those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? You see someone in need. You see someone lacking clothes, food. You see that they need something. And you just walk by and say, well, have a blessed day. In my mind, Jesus would have came by and gave them what they needed. Did he not do that so many times in the Bible? Did he not heal the lame? Give sight to the blind? Feed the 5,000 who were hungry, waiting to hear him preach? Did he not give the people what they needed? He showed his love and his work. He showed his love for God, his Father, through his works. He didn't just let it be words that came out of his mouth. It was actions that came through him. So many times we think that, you know, if we go to church and, you know, we read our Bible, we're just fine. We don't need to tell other people about Christ. We think, you know, I have faith. People should know I'm a Christian. I got saved. I got baptized. But how would the outside world know that? How will they know that you're a Christian if you're not letting your faith be shown through your works? You're not helping other people out. You're not showing the love of Christ that he showed you to them. Why would they want something that you have if you aren't showing it? Matthew 7:21 says, not Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So many times we think, you know, well, a lot of people should have this head knowledge. They should know how to get saved. They should do it. But there's two different types of beliefs. Two different ways of belief. There's a head knowledge and there's a heart knowledge. Now the head knowledge is you know how to get saved, you know it's there, you know what to do. But with the heart knowledge, it's a behavior change. There's a life-changing aspect to it. You aren't just looking out for yourself anymore. You're looking out for others. You're trying to see how you can help others get to Christ. How you can show the love of Christ to others. You're not doing it for yourself anymore. You're not doing anything for yourself anymore. You're not selfish anymore. But you're letting God change your life in such a way that you're able to show the love that he showed while he was on this earth. So many people in this world have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. But with the heart knowledge is a change of behavior that grows so much in you that it has to come out outwardly. And the way it comes out outwardly is by the way you show your faith through your works. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. You can say you're a Christian all you want. You can say, you know what, I got saved. But if you're doing anything that doesn't show that you're a Christian, you can profess that all you want, but it has become a heart knowledge. It's just a head knowledge for you. God hasn't changed your heart. You have it in your head. Yeah, you know. But your works don't show that you believe in God. Your works don't show you have faith in him. What your works show is you still want to live for yourself. You know God's there, but your works show that you want to live for yourself. Your works show that you care more about this world than you do about lost souls, about Jesus Christ. James tells us about faith by works explained through verses 14 through 17. The next aspect is the faith by works displayed. Verses 18 through 25, it just tells us about many people in the Bible, two people in the Bible, Rahab and Abraham, who by their works showed their faith. Abraham, willing to offer up his son Isaac. He knew that if he killed his son, that God was gonna resurrect him and do something. But he was willing to offer up his son because he had faith in God. Rahab, she had a head knowledge of God, but then it also became a heart knowledge for her because she hid the spies from her people because she believed God would save her. And she led them out another way. There's other people in the Bible that show their faith by their works. For example, Noah. In his day, everyone thought he was crazy for building this huge ark because God told him there was a flood coming. Anybody he tried to tell about it did not believe him. But he had faith that God was telling him what he needed to do was right. So he built a boat. He worked according to what God told him because he had faith. Moses' works showed that he believed God. There's so many other people in the Bible that we read that are examples of works showing their faith. My question for you is, in this day and age, will you be an example of your works showing your faith? Will you be like a Moses, like a Noah, like an Abraham, like a Rahab? Will you be one that shows your faith by your works? Because you love God so much and you trust him so much that you'll do whatever he tells you to do. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 1 John 3:17 and 18, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We show the love of Christ. We show our faith in God by our actions, by what we do. Are you doing that today? Are you showing the love of Christ that is in you to that outside world so that they can see, you know what? Hey, I see Dakota. He has something different. He loves people no matter what. I want what he has. No matter where you're at, work, grocery store, post office, are they seeing your love for Christ emulating in you and through you? Because they should be able to, because your faith should be shown through your works. People shouldn't even have to ask you when they come up to you. People shouldn't even have to ask you, are you a Christian? Because you show that you are. And then thirdly, our faith by our works is determined. A lot of times people get confused of, what am I supposed to work for my salvation? They get confused with what Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it says, by works we aren't saved, but it's by the grace of God, by what he did on the cross. A lot of people get confused of what if Peter and James are contradicting each other, but they're not. They're talking through two different stages of the Christian life. Paul is talking to those who want to get saved, telling you, what? You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is accept what Jesus did on the cross for you. He did the work for you. But what James is telling us is those of you that have been saved for a while, that love of God that's supposed to be inside your heart, you need to show that to others. You need to be showing that through your works, the way you love people, the way you see the lost out there. Like Pastor Morris was saying this morning, the love of God tells us to tell people about their sin, how homosexuality is wrong, how all these sins that they're doing, lying, stealing, is wrong, and that can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that love inside us has to take over. We have to have a heart knowledge and not just a head knowledge. It has to be something inside of us that changes our behavior. That's a life-changing thing that we want everyone to know about. So we have to work and do God's will here on this earth so that he knows we believe in him. We have faith in him. We love him so much that we want everyone to know. So Paul is telling people, you know what? Hey, if you want to get saved, it's not something you have to work for. Jesus already did the work. But James is telling you, hey, Christian, you've been saved for a while. How about you get out there and do some of that work as well? How about you tell some people about Jesus? How about you tell some people what Jesus did on the cross for you and that love and that change that he's done in your life? What he saved you from? What he saved you to? How about you get out there and do his work? Now, when I first got saved at the age of 15, I felt I needed to be going soul winning pretty much every day. I needed to be reading my Bible. I needed to be reading my Bible 24/7. I just needed to be doing everything at the church. I just had that passion to serve God. I sometimes, as a Christian, forget about that passion when I first got saved, because I think about, okay, well, I got my ticket to heaven. I'm kind of telling people about what he did for me. But I forget that passion, that fervor of when I first got saved. Hey, everyone needs to know this good news. Everyone needs to know how they can get to heaven. Everyone needs to know. I forget about that passion that I have to work for God. I forget about that passion I had because I get a little, I guess you can say, relaxed. Because I get in my mode of, I'm just doing this routine. I'm going to stick to my routine because this is comfortable. How about we get back to that passion we had when we first got saved? We get back to that passion of, I want to work for God and tell everyone about it. I want everyone to know about the love of God. I want everyone to know about the love he showed me. I want to get out there and knock on every door, and I want to talk to people everywhere I see about God's saving power, about how he can get you away from that sin that you think you're addicted to and make you this new creature. I want to tell everyone about my love for my God. Are you just professing your faith? Or are you displaying your faith daily? Are you just telling people that you're a Christian? Or are you showing them through your works while you're at work, while you're at a grocery store, that you want, hey, I'm a Christian, and I want you to know what I got. I want you to know this love I have for you. You may not be my family member. You may not be someone close to me, but I am called to love you and to show you how you can be saved. My pastor, Al Violette, at First Baptist Church, Bridgeport, he is a soul-winning man. He loves talking to people. He loves just chatting with people. And what I learned from him when I talk to people is they don't care how much you know about the Bible. They don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care for them. When you show how much you care for them, they will be willing to listen to anything you have to say. But you have to show that love to them. And the only way we can show that love is through the love that Christ gave to us to do his work. Because Christ loved people. Are you just professing, or are you displaying your faith?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.